Either it's so beautiful we just can't hardly take it, or we preach so long because we get so fired up by it. Either way, Jeannie said, though, that you're safe this morning. I forgot to plug up my iPad, so my power's low, so I can only preach probably, I guess, till my power runs out. And hopefully that won't happen this morning. It is good to be back home. It is good to be back with you. There is one part of preaching in a gospel meeting that's kind of nice, and that is that you can go there and just be as mean as you want and leave. Now I got to come back and be nice, right? Because I have to live with you. I don't have to live with them. You know, combating sin on a daily basis is difficult. There is not a person in this audience, there's not a person in this world that does not struggle with something, that does not have a weakness of some kind that they have to work on. Even the Apostle Paul had those things. So we all know and we all understand the struggle with sin, the battle that we fight every single day just to be the children that God calls us to be. And it is difficult. May we never belittle it. May we never dumb it down or make it like it's something that's simple, that just happens just because we say it should happen. But it is something we literally have to battle and fight for in our lives. We fight and we struggle and we work hard for things that we feel are important in our lives. And there is nothing today more important than your soul. So there is nothing that you should put more effort and more strength and more time into preserving than the soul that God has given you and Jesus Christ died to save. But how do we do this? You know, really what we have to do is we have to understand what's first, and we have to keep first things first. We have to understand where this battle begins. You know, it is not what we do in the end that's the beginning of the battle. It's not the action that we may commit that is a sin that is the beginning of the battle. The battle begins long before it ever is executed in some kind of action in our life. We need to understand that the battle begins first within our minds. We must understand where all sin begins, and that sin begins in the mind. It begins in our heart. James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, James says, "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death." So he says sin begins with what I want, what I desire, what I lust for. What is it in my life that I want that is leading me to sin? What are those things in my life that I desire that are leading me to sin? You know, Jesus Christ had a desire in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he understood that if he let that desire have its way, have its course, if he let it conceive, as James says here, it would cause him not to go to the cross. But he would not allow that to happen. He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." The battle for Jesus was won in his mind. The battle for Jesus is going to the cross. His will against God's will there in the Garden of Gethsemane was won not at the cross, but was won in the Garden of Gethsemane within his mind as he made the choice to do that which is right. Jesus speaks of lust in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. He's speaking of it there in reference to sexual sin. He says that if you do not want to commit adultery, do not look upon a woman to lust. Deal with your mind. Deal with how you look at women. Prophets in the Old Testament said that they had closed their eyes. They didn't look at any other woman but their wife. Maybe we need to close our eyes a little more often. Maybe we need to be kind of like the bruised Pharisees, right? Y'all know what a bruised Pharisee was, right, in the days of Jesus? They were men that were so afraid of seeing a woman and lusting after her, they wore blindfolds. And so they walked around and ran into everything and fell down. They were bruised. Maybe we need to do that. Sometimes it's hard to walk down the street. Maybe you feel like you need a blindfold. But we need to be serious about our spiritual life and that battle within. There are three types of sin, and all of those sins are all of those focuses are begin in the heart. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 16, says that one type of sin is the lust of the flesh. And within this particular category would be sexual immorality. It would be materialism. It would be greed. You know, greed it comes from within. I want more. I want more than you. I want this. I want that. And I'm never satisfied. But that all is taking place on the inside. The materialism and the greed that we see exhibited are just a product of the heart. Sexual immorality, going back to what Jesus said, do not look at women that way and you won't struggle with that. We have to keep our eyes trained for God so that we look and we think in the right ways. John also says that there is the lust of the eye. And that would certainly bring into play things such as covetousness, jealousy, that I look and I see things that you have. I look and I want those things that I can see. You know, when you look at the Garden of Eden and you see Adam and Eve committing this sin, you know, there was both of these. Lust of the flesh was that it appeared to be good for the fruit, or appeared to be good for food, rather. So it'd be something for the flesh. But also it says that the tree was nice to look at, right? It was a pretty tree, pretty fruit. And it was good to look at, and it drew your attention that way too. And we got to be careful what we let our eyes be drawn to. They can also be drawn to lust. Then he says that it is the third is the pride of life. Pride of life brings about hard-heartedness in our lives. It will say that I know I was wrong, but I cannot and I will not ever admit it. I don't know how many people I know that I'm afraid for their souls because I know that is exactly the attitude they have. I know I'm wrong, but I am not going to admit it. I'm not going to stand up and say I'm wrong. I'm not going to confess that sin. Because of what people say about me. Let me tell you what. I wouldn't worry so much about what people say about you. Worry more about what God says about you in the judgment day. Pride of life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to harden my heart. Because it's all about me. Will cause so many to be lost. But that is all in the mind. It leads to rebellion. You know, they told me I can't do what I want to do. And so I'm going to show them, right? Sometimes children do that. Sometimes a lot of adults do that. God says, I can't do that. I'll show him what I'll do. And they rebel. And it all comes from a prideful heart. What is going on in the mind and who they think is most important in their minds. See, it all begins there. It all begins with how I think, what I think about, what I put in my mind. Let me tell you what, if I put trash in my mind, I'll have a trashy life. If I put righteous things in my mind, I'll have a righteous life. That's just how it works. Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and slanders. All those things, Jesus says, they happen because of what is in a person's heart. So folks, if we're going to win the battle, we've got to understand where the battle's taking place. And the battle's taking place within me. It's taking place in my mind. It's what I think about. It's what I look at. It's what I process. It's what I continuously dwell on in my mind. What I give my thought processes to is where the battle is won and lost. Second, we must fight the fight there within our minds. We must not ignore it. We must not pretend it's not there. But we must actively engage it. Do whatever I have to do to keep sinful thoughts out of my mind so that sinful actions will not come out of my life. Paul spoke of buffeting himself. You know, we need to be active in preventing things in our minds that shouldn't be there. You know, and this means maybe cutting some things off in our lives, things that cause us to think in bad ways. Putting some things away in our lives. And they may be hard things to put away, but folks, it is most important that we do. Jesus Christ illustrates this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. When he says, if your right hand makes you stumble, tear it, or right eye rather, makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than the whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. That's fairly, you know, people look at that and they say, Nathan, that's kind of extreme. No, that's just what it takes. We've got to be willing. God's number one. We've got to be willing to subjugate and remove everything that is in between us and God. What do you need to cut out of your life? I can't answer that question for you. I can answer that question for Nathan. as you combat sin, do you take the time to sit and think about what is causing these temptations? What is causing this to be something I have to combat in my life? Are there causes out there around me that are bringing these things to my life? Are there things out there around me that are making these temptations more difficult to resist? And whatever those things are, as we identify them, we need to identify them and we need to remove them from our lives. We may have that temptation all of our lives, but let's not make it easy. If you're made out of dynamite, don't go stoking blast furnaces, right? Don't put yourself in a position to sin. Try to make it easier on you. Try to put the fight and give it more to advantage to you. You know, maybe the things that we need to cut out of our life may be friends. You know, in our minds, sometimes we believe that we have to have certain people as friends, and we have to fight this belief that if they are taking us away from Jesus Christ. You know, if you have a friend, you may have had this friend for years, but if they are dragging you down spiritually, if they are dragging you away from Jesus Christ, and I know I've heard the thing, well, I'm trying to convert them. Let me tell you what, if they're taking you the other direction, you need to do something about it. Because I've watched people try to convert people right out of the church. Now, there is a point that Jesus said, and we need to understand this, that he said that there is a point you realize that you are casting pearls before swine, that you're giving what is holy to dogs, people that don't want it, aren't interested in it, and have no interest in it. And we need to understand that, and at that time, we need to move to fields that are wider for harvest. That's Jesus Christ. That's not Nathan saying being cold, but there is a time to dust our feet, dust off our feet and move on. And that's especially the case if they are dragging you away from Jesus Christ. For it is better, I don't care how long they've been your friends, I don't care what they've ever done for you, if they're dragging you toward hell, they're not doing much for you. Jesus basically would say, and if we tie this into what he says in Matthew chapter 5, it is better to lose a friend than to lose your soul in hell. You know, maybe it's a job. Is your job taking you further and further from Jesus? Now, I understand, and I'm not talking about, you know, I understand there are jobs that we have, and sometimes they may interfere with worship services or Bible study times, but I'm talking about something that consistently does it. Something that's constantly taking us away from the Lord's work. Maybe it's choices that we make at work that we don't have to make, but we choose for other reasons. But, you know, if it is taking you further and further from Jesus by making you work more and more during worship and study times, it may be a job that you always wanted, but in your mind may tell you that it's the best job that you could possibly get, but maybe the best job isn't what you need. Maybe the job that lets you grow closer to Jesus Christ is the one you need. Most of the time we define best jobs by how much we make, right? And that's not always that important. You know, I know that God is going to feed me because He promised. And I know He's going to clothe me because He's promised. He'll take care of me. And He'll take care of you if you seek Him first. Not the money, not the job. Let me tell you, it is better to lose a job than to lose your soul. You know, maybe cutting down to a personal level and things that are very applicable to today, maybe it's the internet. But we all think we have to be there, don't we? I got my Facebook. I love those people that got to tell me everything they do. I just coughed. I just dried off. I just ate breakfast. I don't care. Just be honest with you, I just don't. But they live on it, and that's all right. You know, to each his own there. But, you know, if you can't get on the internet without looking at things you shouldn't look at, you know, you may have said, I don't need to look at those things, but you still do. Then you need to get off the internet. People go, oh, I can't do it. Yeah, you can. I'll tell you what, folks. We lived a long time, didn't we, without email? I tell you, I get so many. Out of every 100 emails, only about 5 are from people that actually want to read. You know, we did real well before email. We did real well before Facebook, before I knew everything going on in your life at every moment. We did okay. And you'll do all right if that's what it is, but it's better to lose your internet and your Facebook and your email than to lose your soul if you can't log in and not go where you shouldn't go. Oh, be careful, little eyes, we sing, right? What you see. I cannot tell you how many marriages in the past 10 years have been destroyed that I have worked with that have been destroyed because of little eyes that saw things and were continuously looking at things that they shouldn't be looking at. They should have turned it off. Should have went back to just sending it snail mail, right? Because your soul is worth more than whatever's on the internet. There are so many things that we tell ourselves in our minds that we need, yet these things hurt us spiritually. We need to identify those things. We need to get rid of that bad logic that somehow I need that. What you need is Jesus Christ. That's it. And if there's anything that's dragging you away from Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, you do not need it. And we have ironclad arguments for why we do, but let me tell you, if it sends you to hell one day, you'll be in hell going, I sure didn't need that. I should have went for the thing I did need. And it'll be far too late. Paul understood and fought this battle. He understood these things. He said, for the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which is in me. You know, that as I read that and I got to thinking more and more about that, the sin, it's not me anymore, it's the sin controlling me. Something controls you today. And the question is, what is it? Something is controlling you. You go, I make my own decisions. No, you don't. Either Christ is making decisions for you in your life or sin is. And you choose which one you're going to let rule. See, he says here that there is an aspect where when I don't do the things I should do, sin is controlling me. In Romans chapter 6, Paul would call it that we are slaves to sin. Let me tell you, the slave doesn't get to decide what he does he? The master decides it. Sin is your master. But yet Paul would tell Peter in Galatians chapter 2, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He controls me. He's the one that drives me. He's my master. He's my, what do we say? He's my Lord. Oh, we love the Savior, but sometimes we get a little thin on the Lord part, don't we? Where He gets to tell us what to do. But He's Lord. He controls. So you determine today, and I determine today, and in every day as we fight these battles, we determine who controls us, whether it is the devil and sin, or whether it's Jesus Christ and righteousness. But one of them is going to control our lives. And we need to decide which one it is. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. You know, as we think about which one is controlling us, I can tell you which one it'll be. It'll be the one that you give the most to. See, Paul says, make no provision for the lust. Now, if I was going to have a guest over, I would make some provision for them. I'd go out and buy some groceries if they were going to have a meal with me. If they were going to stay with me, I'd get a room ready for them. If they were somewhere very close to me, I might clear out some of my schedule to spend some time with them. But I would make provision for them so that they would be comfortable. In our lives, we must never make our lives a place where sin can be comfortable. We don't make provision for it in our lives. In war. And I know we have a number of men here that have served in the armed forces, but wars are not won with tanks and guns. They are won in logistics. Because you can have all the tanks and guns in the world, but if you don't have gas and bullets, it doesn't matter. The army best supplied is the army that will win. Same thing in your life. If you supply the fleshly things, the sinful things in your life, you supply them a steady diet of things from the world, they will. And you do not supply for the Lord, they will win. Sin will win. But if you constantly supply the spiritual things in your life with the things that are needed to be spiritual and right before God, righteousness will win in your life. But it will determine on who you give the most to. You need to deny one and give the other. For we cannot just stop giving and not bother to give to Jesus Christ. You know, you say, well, I stopped doing these fleshly things, but you didn't do anything to become more righteous. Jesus talked about that, didn't he, in reference to the demon that was cast out of the person, and they cleaned their lives out and everything, but they didn't replace it with anything good, and the demon came right back with more, because, hey, they haven't made it possible for me not to come back. So when we stop those things that are fleshly in our lives, we stop feeding those things, we need to then be sure we're feeding the righteous side of our lives. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, well, before we get to that, you know, we win the battle within and without by changing our mind. You know, we change our mind 100 times in a day, don't we? But I'm talking about a bigger change than those little frivolous changes we make on a daily basis. But changing our mind, the whole way we think. You know, sometimes we look at people in the world and we go, they just don't think like us. You're right, they don't. They don't think like the Christian because the Christian has changed his mind into something far different than anyone in the world has. They think different than people in the world think. We view things in right and wrong. We are black and white in so many ways in regards to what things that are done. We are supposed to be. God is. And we have His mind in us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says that the way not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed, the way that we do that is by the renewing, the changing of our minds. If we do not want to be conformed to the world, but we want to be transformed, we have to transform our minds so that our actions are then transformed as well. Before all, we must put something in there. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 that the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. This morning, what is in your heart? What is in your mind? For you will be exactly what is there. You will go exactly what is you spend the most time thinking about. You'll do what you spend the most time thinking about. You will let your mind take you to heaven or hell. You know, we can feed our hearts righteousness. We can fill our hearts with righteousness today. We can do this by studying the Bible. And I'm not just talking about today and Wednesday night. You know, you can't just say, well, hey, I come on Sunday and Wednesday night, I sit in Bible class, and I listen to Nathan preach. Let me tell you, I'm not a good enough preacher. And don't shake your head. There ain't nobody good enough. I ain't a good enough preacher to give you what you need. There ain't a teacher in this building good enough to give you what you need two times a week. You have got to get into God's Word yourself. You've got to love it. You've got to feed your life with it. As much as you eat every day. If you eat three times a day or maybe more if you're somebody like me, maybe you eat more. But how much do you feed this into your life? The bread that's come down from heaven. The living water. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. How often do we hunger and thirst? How often do we meet that hunger and that thirst by studying God's will on our own? We feed our spiritual side or fill the righteousness in our hearts by fellowshipping and studying with other Christians. That's good to fellowship, but we also need to take time to study with each other. We're all trying to drive in a particular direction, and that direction goes through this book. We need to help each other and study with each other. We feed our spiritual side by participating meaningfully in the Lord's Supper. I don't know how to stress it enough of what the Lord's Supper is. It's so easy for it to become a habit. It's so easy to be something we just do. God forbid that it ever becomes either. May it always be the most important and profound moment of our weeks. There's a reason we begin every first day by remembering what He did. So that we begin every week with a refreshed perspective of what we've done, what we deserve, and what God has done for us. That should be a moment that you give your heart and your soul completely to remembering Jesus Christ. Not looking through your purse, not thinking about something else, not thinking about lunch, not thinking about what you're going to do this week, thinking about what your Lord did 2,000 years ago and where that'll get you in eternity. We also fill our hearts with righteousness when we pray regularly and trust in God. See, a person who doesn't pray doesn't trust God. Somehow in their heart and in their mind, they really think that they can do it on their own. They really think they're good enough just to make it through this life. They really think that somehow they're smart enough, strong enough, rich enough, whatever it may be, to get through this life without asking God to help. It's a person who doesn't trust God to help, who thinks that they got it handled. And let me tell you, they think that right up until the time that this world shows them they can't. And unfortunately, by then, it's too late to build faith sometimes. And they can't deal with the devastation that this world can bring to a person's life. There's a young man I met this last week. Super, super Christian young man. Hadn't been a Christian very long. But there, every time the door opens, constantly looking to do something, constantly wanting to do something, thinking about being a preacher maybe. Wonderful young man. In his 20s. He became a Christian shortly after he found a young lady that he fell in love with, and she fell in love with him. And he was studying the Bible with her, and several at the congregation were studying the Bible with her. Fine young lady, says just a super girl. Just the kind of girl you want your son to meet. They were studying with her, and she was going to be baptized. Most everybody said that she was going to be baptized that Sunday night. They were driving down a road, and a man crossed the center line, hit him head on Sunday afternoon, killed her. Killed the man in the car and his three children, with the mother driving behind, seeing the whole thing. Just a tragedy beyond comprehension. And I had so many people tell me at that church how that young man had just gotten stronger and stronger and stronger by just throwing his life at the Lord. You know, I can't imagine the pain he felt. And he was injured quite badly too. But yet he went to the right place. Let me tell you what, it's because he had it before it ever happened. He wasn't having to look for faith after the tragedy struck. He had faith before the tragedy struck in God. And he knew exactly where to go. Folks, we need to find God now. Have that faith in our lives. Trust Him to take care of us. And when the bad things happen, we will be able to endure them because of that faith. Just before the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, Jeremiah wrote this, and then the lesson is yours. He said, "Wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem, that you may be saved. How long will your wicked thoughts lodge within you?" Why didn't God say, "How long will your wicked actions continue?" Why didn't He say, "When are y'all going to stop doing all those things?" Because God knew where it all began. And if the people wouldn't change their minds, get rid of the wicked thoughts that lodged within them, they were never going to change their actions. This morning, change your heart. Renew your mind. Because just as the people in Jeremiah's day, impending judgment was upon them, God's wrath was upon them, if we do not know that the same impending wrath of God lies in store for us. But God doesn't want to bring wrath upon us. He wants to save us. If only we'll give our hearts and our minds to Him. You give your heart and your mind, rest take care of itself. Jesus said that it's like washing cups, right? Wash the inside of the cup, you're naturally going to get the outside clean. You just wash the outside, have you ever seen those little coffee cups? Obviously somebody washed on the outside. Got that nastiness in there, you can tell, hadn't been washed. If you wash that inside, that outside will take care of itself. Same for us. This morning, if you're not a child of God, we invite you to renew your mind, to become like Jesus Christ's mind. First thing about Jesus Christ was obedience.
We pray that you will obey the gospel today just as he obeyed every commandment of God in his life. We pray that you will follow that pattern. Believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. See, repenting is that it is a product of the mind. Repentance takes place here. Fruits of repentance takes place out there. But repentance is here. It is my decision in my mind to do something different. To live right. To stop moving toward the world, start moving toward God. To stop making provision for the world, make provision for God. Confess Jesus Christ as Son of God, the one capable of saving you today. Be buried in baptism, having your sins washed away, to rise to walk a new life. A new life, why? Because you have a new mind. A mind like Christ. One that is governed and controlled by this book and what he has given to us in his word. If you're a child of God today, maybe your mind has not been where it ought to be. Maybe you have wicked thoughts lodging within you as God's people did in Jeremiah's day. God calls you to remove those things. You remove those things and it'll change what you are on the outside. It'll make you do the things that God wants you to do because you will be a person given to God. If we can assist you in any way this morning in bringing your life closer to God and to bringing your mind more in tune with what God would have it to be, we all pray that you will let us. Why don't you come as we stand and as we sing. Caleb Barco comes this morning stating that he would like your prayers, that he might have the wisdom and the strength to be a better example for his brothers. He said, I want to be a good big brother. You know, there. As we think about that from a spiritual family sense, we all want to be good big brothers and big sisters to those that are younger in the Christian faith. And I admire Caleb for wanting to help his brothers. You know, most time brothers and sisters just want to stay away from each other, right? Caleb wants to help his brothers get to heaven. And God bless him for that. He also asks for your prayers that as he in school on a daily basis is surrounded by a lot of sinful things. He says that he wants strength to better
stand against those things and to be to show Christ in those things. And so God bless him for that as we all understand that daily battle also. I'm going to ask Ken, if he would, to come and lead a prayer on Caleb's behalf.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful so much for your word and the influence it has on us. We're thankful for Caleb this morning and the example that he's shown for all of us to recognize that when we have need, that we come before you and ask for the strength to get us through the challenges that we face. We pray that you'd be with him as he strives to be the Christian example for his family, but also for his peers at school. We pray that we would all have the same heart, each individually, that the influence that we all have in the world that we're in, that we live in at work, within our families, that we will all recognize that that should be the Christian example that you've asked us to demonstrate. Give us all the strength. Help us all to encourage one another. Forgive Caleb for anything he may have done. Forgive all of us, Lord, for the things that we do that we know that aren't right, that we struggle with every day. Help us to look to your word, look to Christ as our example, so that when we're around others, they know we are from your family as well. And give us the strength to reach out and encourage each other on a daily basis. We're thankful so much for your son and the forgiveness that he brings for all of us and the avenue that we have through prayer to be able to accomplish that very thing. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.